Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm Bill McKeever, your host today. I'm the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is Eric Johnson, colleague at MRM. And we are talking about this week, an interesting weekend coming up with the Compassionate Boldness Conference. This is a great time where you can actually hear and meet many of the people that deal with the subject of Mormonism one-on-one. You can still save on the at-the-door price of the conference by going to compassionateboldness.com. That discount is good throughout today, and hope that you will do that.
Bill, we should say where it's going to be. This is going to be at the Calvary Chapel, Salt Lake City, which is 460 Century Drive in Salt Lake City, and it's very central. So as far as trying to find a place that it would suit the people in the Ogden area, and it's right there in the middle, so it's a great place to go.
Friday night check-in is going to be from 5:30 to 6:30. Then we're going to have 6:30 as the welcome and the opening prayer, and then I'm going to be kicking off with the first plenary session at 6:45, talking about the subject, what is Mormon doctrine, separating what is official from folklore. And then we're going to be having three workshop sessions that evening. One of them is going to be with Aaron Shafawalaf, who is also a colleague here at MRM, and he's going to be talking about a subject that he is passionate about, and that is the issue of about God being a sinner. When God was a mortal human, according to Mormonism, did he sin during that time?
So he's a passionate speaker, so you'll want to check out Aaron.
Passionate about this subject,
absolutely,
too, and it's going to be an excellent subject. And then also we've got Lauren Pankratz, Defining LDS Grace, and Corey Anderson's going to be speaking about the LDS concept of baptism for the dead. We have a lot of good speakers.
And then Saturday, we started at 8:30 in the morning with registration, and then 9 o'clock, Rob Bowman's going to be speaking, and we're going the rest of the day until 5:30. So.
Finishing up with Sandra Tanner is going to be talking about the elements of a Mormon testimony. Lots of good workshops.
Now, Bill, a lot of people are wondering probably, what's this going to sound like? Maybe what we ought to do is play a part of the 2008 conference and see.
I actually opened up the 2008 conference with that very subject, compassionate boldness, mutually exclusive terms with a question mark, and kind of giving an outline of why we're doing what we're doing. So I thought we'd listen to an excerpt of that so people can kind of get a taste of it. And if they would like to get a full download of that talk, then by all means, they can go to mrm.org and they can go to the bookstore and they can find that as well. So for the next few minutes, we're going to be listening to an excerpt called Compassionate Boldness. Boldness, mutually exclusive terms, question mark. This evening I'd like to address basically what this conference is really all about and why we gave it the title that we did. And the question that I want to ask is, compassion and boldness, mutually exclusive terms. In other words, do these terms go together or do they actually contradict each other? I didn't come from an LDS background, but I grew up with a lot of LDS people, and they were great people. I have nothing but good experiences growing up with them. I can't think of anything negative at all until I actually got in ministry to the Mormon people, and I probably got a few negative experiences, no doubt, but most of my experiences growing up were just great, and they were great people. And so when it comes to being an ex-Mormon, I can't share what a lot of you sitting here understand. I had to learn it from the outside. My mentor was Arthur Bedvarsson, who actually started the Utah Christian Tract Society back in the 1950s, and I remember sitting down for hours with Art and his wife Edna and just talking to them about these issues and trying to understand an LDS mindset so that I could more relate to what they're believing, how they think, and things like that, and they were tremendous help in mentoring me, and I greatly miss them. When they both passed away, it was a great loss to both myself and my wife. But anyway, I'd like to open with a passage taken out of Romans chapter 10 that I'm sure many of you, when you read this passage, can't help but see a parallel. It's Romans chapter 10. We find Paul is speaking of those who shared his Jewish heritage, and Paul actually illustrates his love and compassion for them
not only in Romans chapter 10, but he actually starts in chapter 9, and we'll point that out a little bit briefly here, where he says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them," speaking of his kinsmen, "is that they may be saved." Notice that's his heart's desire, to see that they will be saved. That's what his desire was all about. "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, I have two questions that I'd like to ask you. Would anyone dare say in reading this passage that Paul's comment was motivated by really anything less than a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by what he would view from his perspective as a misfortune? Second question, would anyone dare say that Paul's comment was founded on anything less than a strong desire to alleviate potential or current future anxiety or suffering? I have to say the answer is no. I don't think he did. I think when Paul writes this, he does show that he has a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another. And coming from his worldview, he finds this as being a misfortune. There's something wrong there. There's nothing wrong with saying that. And then also, if he has this strong desire, he also wants to alleviate what he sees as either a current or a potential suffering that is going to take place in their life in some way. If your answer is no and you agree with me, then I have to conclude that you agree that Paul was motivated by a genuine compassion, because that what I've just given you are basically the very definition of compassion itself. You see a situation and you want to react, hoping to do something for the better when it comes to that individual. You don't want to hurt them. You want to somehow bring them to something that is better. You see a need and you want to meet it. Now, Paul's concern for his kinsmen, as I said, is described in the previous chapter, in chapter 9, where he says, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have a great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." I have no doubt that many of you, especially those of you that are former Mormons, when you see your relatives, you see your friends that are still involved in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that there can be nothing more than just a feeling of anguish as Paul had for his Jewish kinsmen. It's not always understood that way, that's for sure. In fact, we're often misunderstood, as I'm sure Paul was misunderstood as well, and we'll be covering some of that. But the fact is, that's what it's all about. I can't count how many times when I'm driving to church on Sunday morning and my wife and I will see a Mormon family walking to church, and there's the husband and the wife and the kids, you know, coming along wearing their little suits and everything, carrying their little quads and stuff like that. And we don't have a feeling of, you know, disgust or disdain for them at all. We have nothing but a sincere passion for them and a grieving, because we understand that our worldviews are really seriously different. And we would naturally hope that they would hopefully see things the way we see them, as I'm sure the Mormons want us to see things the way they see them. But it's not any disdain or disgust. It's actually a desire to wish something better for them. Paul's primary desire, or literally is his good pleasure, is to see God's glorious salvation wrought on a people who are already very much religious, but not according to knowledge, he said. Now, can you imagine being a first century Jew reading this? I'm sure most Jews would read what Paul said and what? What's he talking about? I'm sure a Mormon listening to me saying this right now is probably thinking the same thing. What? What is he talking about? But we definitely have two different viewpoints on this, and there's certainly a pattern that we see here. Can it not be said about the LDS people that they have a commendable zeal for what they believe? I don't think anybody would deny that. I know I don't deny that. I get email all the time from Latter-day Saints, and And the first thing they say is, why are you attacking us as a people? And I say, I'm not saying that at all. Why are you saying we're bad people? I never said that at all. In fact, I'm often very much, commending the lifestyle of many Latter-day Saints. I have no doubt about that. But I have to think from my worldview that it's a zeal that is based in biblical ignorance nonetheless. That's a feeling Paul had. Why would I be condemned for having that same feeling? But that's just the way it is. Should an observation such as this classify us as any less concerned for the LDS people that Paul was for his fellow Israelites? I don't think so. Compassion needs to certainly be exhibited. It's absolutely essential in our witness. Colossians 3:12-13 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and bearing one another." Now, I'm going to confess to you, I don't always do this. There have been times when you're talking with someone where you tend to get frustrated. Am I the only one that has experienced that? Okay? No, I don't think I am. And we certainly do make mistakes, and afterwards we go away going, "Oh, what in the world did I say that for? Why did I say it like that?" And we're human. That's just the way it is. But at least you're convicted on those issues, which is a good sign, okay? That you're convicted on that is a good sign. But true compassion, as with Paul, is going to lead to action. When we weigh the consequences, we can't help but respond to the situation. I'm often asked, and it got to the point where we finally put this on our website, we're asked, "Well, why do you do what you do?" Have you ever been asked that question by a Latter-day Saint? Why do you do what you do? Why do you do this? Well, why can't we just be friends and let's just focus on our similarities? I hear this a lot. Why can't we just be friends and focus on our similarities? First of all, there would be nothing that I would love more than to be friends. There would be nothing that I love more. But at the same time, I have to be cautious about a question like that. And this is why. Because while I would love to be friends, I have to ask, what kind of friendship would this be if I am compelled to discuss only the things we agree on?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. On October 14th and 15th, an event is coming to Salt Lake City that you won't want to miss. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, the third annual Compassionate Boldness Conference will take place at Calvary Chapel in Salt Lake City. Hear plenary speaker Rob Bowman, along with Sandra Tanner and Bill McKeever, as well as more than a dozen others as we look at Mormonism from a biblical worldview. You'll have the chance to hear some of the latest Christian research on topics related to Mormonism, with one session featuring a panel of Christian pastors to hear their perspective on life in Utah. It's an event every Christian in this state ought to attend. Now to sign up, go to www.compassionateboldness.com. Again, the event will take place on Friday evening, October 14th, and all day Saturday, October 15th at Calvary Chapel, Salt Lake, right off the 15 freeway and located at 460 Century Drive. Go to CompassionateBoldness.com and make sure to reserve your spot today. You'll be glad you did.